The Capital Investment Committee hearing for April 29th is called to order. Members, we do not have a quorum, and so we'll move straight to the agenda for today. Members, our main charge this legislative session is to come up with our 2024 bonding proposals. And so before us today, we will have two different amendments to House File 5220 and 5162. The DE amendment coded A24-032 is to the House File 5220, which is the GO bonding bill. And then the DE amendment coded A240319 is to House File 5162, which is the general fund bill. And with that, I will hand over the gavel to Vice Chair Ryer.
As Chair Lee and staff move to the testifier table, I'd like to point out there's a single spreadsheet that includes a column for House File 5220, the GO bill, and a column for House File 5162, the GF bill. No official action on either bill will be taken today. And members, please seek recognition. If you have questions, we'll be added to the list. Chair Lee, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First off, I'll start with House File 5220, and then I think, you know, with regards to the spreadsheet, since we have both on there, we'll have Mr. Andy Lee just go through both of them. And then since we're hearing this information only, I think I'm not going to move any bill. And then Chelsea Griffin from House Research will walk through some of the policies items that we have in the two bills. So with that, Madam Chair, I'll turn it over to Mr. Lee.
Mr. Lee, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, for the record, my name is Andrew Lee from House Fiscal Staff. Looking at the spreadsheet that you have in front of you, dated 4/28 at 3:24 p.m., I'll read through the bill or for the DE amendments for House File 5220 and 5162. So starting under University of Minnesota, under GO, $64 million for asset preservation and $64 million for Minnesota State for higher education asset preservation. Then on the Department of Education, $302,699,000 GO bonds for library construction grants. And then on the general fund, $23.025 million for library construction grants from the general fund. Then for Minnesota State Academies, the total is $7.5 million. $3 million of that is for asset preservation, and $4.5 million is for the blind library building renovation. Under Perpich, $4 million for asset preservation. Then the total for DNR is $65.5 million, of which $20 million is for asset preservation, $30 million is for betterment of buildings, $2 million is for improving accessibility, and $3 million is for flood hazard mitigation, $2.5 million is for reforestation, and $8 million is for community tree planting grants. Moving to the next page, for Pollution Control Agency, $4 million for statewide drinking water contamination mitigation, and $8 million for the Capital Assistance Program. Under Bowser, $3.862 million for local road wetland replacement and $6 million for Reinvest in Minnesota CREP. For the Minnesota Zoo, $15 million for the animal hospital. Then under administration, for ADA Capital Tunnel Accessibility Upgrades, $8.5 million from GO. And then for ADA Building Accommodation, $750,000 in general fund. Then there's a trunk highway appropriation of $1.8 million for Capital Security Upgrades Phase 3. This is specific to the MnDOT building from the Trunk Highway Fund. Then $2.044 million for CAPRA, $8 million for ADA Accessibility Account from GO, $12 million for Capital Mall Improvements, and then in General Fund, $4.3 million for Sustainable Building Guidelines Implementation. Under Amateur Sports Commission, $9.226 million for National Sports Center Asset Preservation. Under Military Affairs, one appropriation for $3 million for the Luth Hangar Design. And then under the Department of Public Safety, $47,998 million for the BCA Southern Minnesota Regional Office and Laboratory. Under the Department of Transportation, there's two appropriations. The first is $37.7 million for the major local bridge replacement program and $8 million for the Port Development Assistance Program. under the Metropolitan Council, $8 million in Metropolitan Regional Parks, and $15 million for the Inflow and Infiltration Grant Program, $8 million for community tree planting grants from GEO, and $4.08 million from General Fund. Then under the Department of Human Services, $12.266 million for asset preservation, $8 million in GEO for early childhood facilities, and $2 million from General Fund. Under the Department of Health, $6 million for secondary sources of drinking water grant program from GEO, and $100,000 from General Fund. Under the Veterans Affairs, $12.812 million for asset preservation, $16.045 million for the Minneapolis Veterans Home Building 6 remodel. Under the Department of Corrections, $60 million for asset preservation and GEO, and $3.906 million from General Fund. Under Rush City, $46.585 million for program expansion, and for Lino Lakes, $7,439,000. Under the Department of Employment and Economic Development, $2 million for the Transportation Economic Development Infrastructure Grant Program, and $2 million from the Greater Minnesota Business Development Public Infrastructure Grant Program. And the General Fund DE, $1 million for capital mall improvements. For Public Facilities Authority, the total is $57 million, with 39 of that for matching for federal grants, $8 million for the Water Infrastructure Grant Program, of which $4 million is drinking water and $4 million is wastewater, then $10 million for Emerging Contaminant Grant Program. Under the Housing Finance Authority, $32 million for Public Housing Rehabilitation, $4.5 million for Greater Minnesota Infrastructure Program Co-op Manufactured Housing. Then for the Historical Society, $5.588 million for Historic Sites Asset Preservation. Then finally, under the Department of Management and Budget, $1.3 million in general fund related to a U of M Cloquet Forestry bond defeasance from the general fund. And this is in House File 5220. And then the bond sale expenses are $986,000. So members, on the last page, you can see the totals, including a cancellation or three cancellations. The first on line 316, this is the GEO cancellation report that came out in January of this year. Then a further cancellation from a GEO appropriation from last year of $2.5 million for Duluth Behavioral Health Center. That brings the net GEO impact on line 321 for the general obligation bill at just under $980 million. Then for the general fund, you can see a cancellation on line 323 of $461,000, which brings the net total, the general fund amount, at $38.7 million. The 1.3 plus the 38.7 equals $40 million, and I should note that on line 345, there's an error in that spreadsheet, and that should be 38.7. And then, Madam Chair, you should also have in your packet a one-page tracking sheet showing the debt service. I'll give people a second to find that. So, Madam Chair and members, this sheet shows the base debt service in the top lines from line 5 to 31. So nothing in the DE amendment proposals would change those numbers, and then you can see the proposed changes below that. So the base for that MMB estimated for this biennium is the $980 million GEO authorization. So on line 35, you can see that is that base. So there's no change from base, and then you can see the two general fund appropriations totaling $40 million on line 39. If you're interested in base plus change, that's on line 40.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Questions from members? Thank you, Mr. Lee. And welcome, Ms. Griffin. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. For the record, my name is Chelsea Griffin, and I'm with House Research. I'll be walking you through the miscellaneous articles of both of the DE amendments. We'll start with the amendment coded A24-0320. This is the delete everything amendment for House File 5220, which is the capital investment bonding bill. Article 2 begins on page 19. Section 1 is the language of House File 5203 with some amendments. This establishes an accessibility account in the State Bond Proceeds Fund for expenditures related to the Americans with Disabilities Act on those kinds of improvements on state-owned property. Section 2 on page 20 is the language of House File 3738. This establishes the Community Tree Planting Grant Program under the Department of Natural Resources. Section 3 on page 21 establishes a statewide drinking water contamination mitigation program that would be administered by the Pollution Control Agency. This language is from the governor's bonding bill, which is House File 5220, with some amendments incorporated. Section 4 on page 22 is a new secondary sources of drinking water grant program that would be administered by the Department of Health. Section 5 on page 23 is from House File 5220, the governor's bonding bill. This makes some amendments to a provision in the Early Childhood Learning and Child Protection Facilities grant program. It lists new eligible grantees and when certain grantees are eligible for grants funded with either general obligation bonds or the general fund money. Section 6 on page 24 is a new emerging contaminants grants program. This is also from the governor's bonding bill with some amendments incorporated, and this would be administered by the Public Facilities Authority. Section 7 on page 25 is the language from House File 3210. This is actually an amendment to that House file. It authorizes counties to be eligible grantees under the Greater Minnesota Housing Infrastructure Grant Program and also adds manufactured home developments qualifying for homestead treatment as eligible projects under that program. And then there are some amendments to maximum grant amounts as well. Section 8 on page 27 is language from House File 3911, which establishes a community tree planting grant program under the Metropolitan Council. Section 9 on page 28 is a new modification language for Invergrove Heights. It deletes pre-design and design as eligible phases of the capital project for use of the appropriation, and then also makes some amendments to the specific improvements that are eligible for that appropriation. Section 10 on page 28 is the language of House File 4193. This is the Cloquet Forestry Center land transfer, which authorizes the Commissioner of Administration to convey all state-owned land within the boundaries of the Cloquet Forestry Center to the University of Minnesota. Section 11 on page 29 is the language from House File 5078. This specifies that money allocated to the state from a specific federal capital projects fund must be granted by the Commissioner of Education only to political subdivisions, and then requires the Commissioner of Education to prioritize funding for underserved communities. Section 12 is the repealer from the governor's bonding bill, House File 5220. This repeals infrastructure development bonds, which were authorized once by the legislature and were fully paid off in 2016. And then Section 13 is the effective date for the article. It provides that, except as otherwise provided, the article is effective the day following final enactment. Madam Chair and members, that concludes the walkthrough of the Capital Investment Bonding Bill miscellaneous article.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Questions from members? Seeing none, Chair Lee.
Madam Chair, we still have the general fund amendment too.
Yep. Please proceed.
Madam Chair, moving on to the capital investment general fund article 2, the miscellaneous article. This is for the DE amendment coded A24-0319. Article 2 begins on page 4. Section 1 of Article 2 is the language from House File 3584. This would require a political subdivision to report its debt capacity as part of the capital budget submission process. Section 2 on page 5 is language from House File 5287 as amended, and this amends the provision known as the local match requirement. It adds a nonprofit organization capital grants to this expectation and then provides clarifying language about what the state share is and what a non-state share is. Section 3 on page 5 is the notice of state contribution language from House File 5384. This would require capital projects that receive state funds to have a notice on the property stating that the project was funded with state taxes collected statewide. Section 4 on page 6 is the language of House File 5312 as amended. This is the Sustainable Building Guidelines updated language in response to the Office of Legislative Auditor and Center for Sustainable Building Research reports that were issued last year. This section goes on for quite a few pages. The next section is section 5 on page 12, and that's still a part of that sustainable building language. Section 6 is the Secondary Sources of Drinking Water Grant Program. This is identical to what is in the DE for the Capital Investment Bonding Bill. Section 7 is on page 13. This removes the language establishing an active transportation account in the general fund. That language is not needed for general fund appropriations to fund active transportation projects. Section 8 on page 14 is the language of House File 3911. This is the same as was in the bonding bill DE establishing a community tree planting grant program under the Metropolitan Council. Section 9 on page 15 is additional sustainable building guideline language from House File 5312. Section 10 on page 16 is the Capital Mall Design Framework Update and Matching Funds language from House File 5195. And then finally, Section 11 is the effective date for the article, which is identical to the one in the bonding bill. It provides that, unless otherwise stated, the article is effective the day following final enactment. Madam Chair, that concludes the walkthrough of the General Fund Capital Investment D.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Questions for members? Chair Lee?
Actually, let him go first.
Yeah, yeah.
Madam Chair, I feel a little delinquent. I wanted to ask a question on 5220, if that's okay. Same cast of characters, correct? Yeah. One of the questions I have is on Section 10, the Cloquet Forestry Center land transfer. I am trying to figure out that we are a capital investment, and we invest in things. This is a capital divestment. Why is this in our bill? I'm just curious.
Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Scrava, that's a good question. So this property was paid with bond finance, and so in order for us to do the transfer, we will have to pay off the bonds. That's why it's a cost of $1.3 million. And since, you know, it's GO bonds, wherever this provision goes, it will require the super majority vote, and so we're putting it in the capital investment bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Lee, for your work in putting this together. I'll do my question before I make my comments here. On page 5, section 2 of the local match provision, I was wondering if there's someone representing the cities or counties who is in attendance who could address if they have any concerns about this. Nobody.
Oh, wow. Theodore, I will note that we'll have public testimony tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll save that for then, probably here tomorrow. Just a general comment then. I do appreciate the work in putting this together. I mean, we are at a place in the process where things have got to start moving pretty soon. Not that they haven't been, but, you know, you reach that point where, you know, we have to put this together. And I think this is a first step in accelerating the process. And that's how people should view this. For those that are concerned, you know, that they don't have projects in this bill, or that there's not enough money here, too little money there, they don't like whatever agency's funding is established. I'm just cautioning people. The process is really, in terms of those items, just going to be getting going. You know, the time between the passage of this bill and when it gets to Ways and Means, whenever that is going to happen, that's when serious work will be done in putting this together. So, you know, for the librarians who think that they have hundreds of millions of dollars and are doing cartwheels, sorry about that, probably not going to happen. But again, folks should understand and take this document for what it is. It's a first step in the process that is going to come up with something that likely will be at least somewhat, if not significantly, different before we're done.
Thank you, Leader Erdahl. Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if other members have any other questions. If not, then I would just use this time as a closing comment. So first off, I just want to say thank you to all the members of the committee and to all of your communities for welcoming us and all of our state agencies when we were on our tours this fall. I really appreciate the hospitality from all of our communities, and especially to the two systems for providing, you know, food and everything else for all of us. And, you know, I think this proposal reflects some of the work that we have been doing over the last year and a half. What we have in this proposal is $980 million in GO and $40 million in general fund cash, as was explained from Mr. Andy Lee. And, you know, we're in this situation because we, you know, have some upcoming, you know, budget forecast that may put some constraints on what we would like to spend and how much we can spend. And so even though we have requests over $7.6 billion in the biennium from state agencies and local governments, this will only be a small dent into that process. And as you look through the proposal, I think this is really consistent with what the administration have proposed to in taking care of our assets. And, you know, I would encourage beyond just the members of this committee, for members of all of, you know, the legislature to really get out there to see and understand the dire need of our own state assets. We know that our local communities have requests out there, but our main responsibility is to take care of our own. And so I'm hopeful that we could continue to move forward and, you know, start making a dent to some of the requests that we have for our state agencies so that we could really take care of the infrastructure for all of Minnesota. And so with that, Madam Chair, I think Representative Erdahl might have some closing comments too. Just want to say thank you again to all the members of the committee and look forward to the conversation tomorrow and Wednesday as we move in the process. And then I think to the agencies, if there are any requested amendments to what we have in here, please let us know as soon as possible for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Lee. Leader Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, Chair Lee, you know, thank you for all the work that you've done. I think, you know, this is a good start for us in terms of getting the bill put together. You know, there is one question that still is hanging out there. You guys are $980 million, and we're somewhat less than that. And we have to get a definitive number that we can work from as soon as possible, before we can really move forward in the way that we need to move. So I guess, you know, that's where we are right now. I'm sure we'll get that number. The sooner the better. Thank you.
Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and, you know, really appreciate those comments. And, you know, Representative Erdahl, you have been a great partners in this work. I think, you know, and I, like I mentioned in our previous conversation, I think yesterday, we have seen where the administration is at with their proposal. This is the proposal for the majority caucuses, and I think it's time for us to see the proposal for the minority caucuses so that we could start moving forward together.
Thank you, Chair Lee. Just a couple of things before we adjourn. First of all, we have minutes to approve. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes for April 24th, 2024?
So moved.
Thank you, Representative Scraba.
Nobody else wants to do it.
Yeah. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Minutes are approved. And now for our schedule for the next 2 days. Tomorrow, Tuesday, April 30th at 9 a.m., we will hear public testimony on the DE amendments to House File 52220 and House File 5162. Anyone wishing to testify should email jenny.nash@house.mn.gov by 5 p.m. today. Written testimony should be submitted by 5 p.m. today as well. Submitted written testimony is public and will be posted on the committee website and included in the committee record. On Wednesday, May 1st at 9 a.m., we'll mark up and vote on House File 5220 and House File 5162. Amendments to House File 5220 and House File 5162 DE amendments are due by 3 p.m. tomorrow. And members, please email amendments to jenny.nash@house.mn.gov. With that, members, this meeting is adjourned.